The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is,
god damn it,
April 25th?
Friday in April.
April
25th. I mean, my therapist this week goes, next week will be, oh yeah, wow, already. And I was like, you too? Okay, so it's not just me. Even well-adjusted people don't know what day it is.
The end of school is like in a month.
Yeah.
And I have to start mentally preparing myself for that.
It's happening. Brace yourselves. It's summer fun. How? I'm sweating already and I don't know.
It's already past my threshold of comfort. So
I saw
buckle up.
Tesla was secretly changing odometer numbers to avoid like people making warranty claims. And I was like, I think like Apple, Android, they're all speeding up our time. I can't prove it, but it feels like they're stealing it from us somehow.
I mean, I wouldn't put anything past anybody right now, so very well could be.
I'm like, how would we know when you rely on only digital things, then
and
that
also
becomes real time?
Yeah, and you do away with daylight savings.
That's coming,
and then
I think
there are time zones. I mean, there's a lot of way to confuse people about time.
Just make it all up. Move the sun a little
like
bit.
My phone says it's 4:10. Okay, yeah. So does the computer. But I guarantee you something in this house is like, it's 4:08.
Yeah, it's
like 2 minutes. Which one am I in? Am I in the 4:08 or the 4:10?
And it's 4:12 somewhere else. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, though. And that's
always. Somebody actually was like, actually, it's not always 5 o'clock somewhere. So that saying doesn't make sense. I've never fact checked it, but I think
nice
it's still said.
Jimmy Buffett and Alan Jackson, and not the Alan Jackson that's currently trying the Karen Reed retrial.
With his beard,
with his beard,
beard Alan Jackson. I think you're right that he did it so you can tell which trial is which.
Exactly. So he's like, beard. All right. That was the second one. That's the 2025 trial. But well, if y'all are watching that, my goodness, Emily D. Baker is streaming it. The best place to watch it online for sure. And jaw dropping in only the first few days. So we'll see how that pans out.
Just, I mean, today was
day one.
Opening statements, wasn't it?
And as we record this,
it was left on a cliffhanger. That most judges would have been like, you can finish this story, but not Bev.
No.
Because we've decided at 4:05, she is in her hot tub, cracking a Truly, and that's not going to change. It does not matter who's testifying.
She's
out of there.
She's wearing her robes while she's in the hot tub? Yeah, absolutely. It's part of it. It feels good when the bubbles make it billow around you.
Oh, yeah. It fills the whole hot tub. And then she gets to move around like Ursula.
Feels so good. Well,
bless
Judge Bev. May the Truly smooth her out and have a smooth
May the Truly
retrial.
Come to light, because this poor woman has been on trial now.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer she's innocent. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. It's new trial, new beard. New prosecutor. We'll see how it goes.
New information. Absolutely. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. In the meantime, thank you for curating this lineup of tales from our listeners. Thanks, everybody, for sending them in. I some of these had me jaw on the floor. I was reading, I pre-read them, and I was crying at some of them. Thank you so much for your, taking the time to write these, y'all.
Absolutely. The first two are heavy hitters. So just a heads up about that. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Laura. It's called Holiday Turned Hell. And content warning, this does discuss sexual assault. Hey, gang. Thank you for always being there for fans in the most down-to-earth way. Your vibe of respect meets comedy is second to no other. I'm from the UK and went on holiday to Cyprus with my ex-partner about 10 years ago. It's a beautiful country, and I've since visited it with my fiancé and loved it. So please don't let this story put people off. After a boat day trip, myself and my ex-partner decided to take a swim off the harbor. We didn't have swimming costumes, so in true British/tourist style, we decided to swim in our underwear. While swimming in the harbor, we noticed an older man getting closer to us. He got close enough to me to start talking, and I realized he was also British. He was from a city called Liverpool. Accents are very distinctive in the UK. My partner swam off, and the man got close to me. I don't recall what he was saying, but before I had a chance to process anything, he had a hold of me. I tried to squirm free, but he made a comment about two young women swimming in the sea together looking for, quote, something to happen to them. I don't remember anything between that moment and being held underwater. Whilst underwater, being held there by a stranger, I had the most bizarre experience. I suppose I was in the fawn state because I just accepted what was happening to me. I could hear him still talking through the water, but couldn't hear what was being said. I couldn't breathe and slowly started accepting that this was the end for me. Everything went very white and was blissful. I assume this was the lack of oxygen. During this time, the man digitally penetrated me. I had given in to the white bliss and was not even struggling when suddenly someone grabbed hold of me, hard. All of a sudden, I was above water with a second man. He was screaming at the first Liverpudlian man in a deep Scottish accent. He swung a punch and then helped me swim to the side of the harbor. He helped me out and sat me down to ensure I was okay. This man had been walking by when he had witnessed the whole thing and decided to jump in to intervene. He saved my life. At this point, my partner noticed something was wrong and swam over and exited the sea too. The Scottish man explained what he had seen, which my partner said, "That wouldn't have happened if you didn't want it to." I felt sick. I had not wanted this to happen, and in this foreign place, the closest person to me was the most distant. The Scottish man was wonderful and completely disagreed with my partner. He checked if I was okay repeatedly before leaving us. After years of therapy, I finally confronted my ex about what she said, and she apologized profusely. She doesn't make it okay, but I'm pleased she realizes that it was an inappropriate comment. I still deal with what happened to me on a regular basis and face challenges continuously. But this is a message to anyone who goes through a similar experience. It does get better, I promise. All my love to those who have experienced SA.
What a nightmare come true that you're
truly
just,
a holiday turned hell.
Yes. I mean, you're just swimming and thinking, oh, somebody from where I'm from. That's cool. Small world. And then 2 seconds later, you're not only being attacked, but also drowned.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the scariest. Just thank God for this lovely Scottish man to come. Right. May we all be the Scottish man that someone needs in that moment to just go, fuck it, I'm jumping in.
Yeah. To see it and be like, hell the fuck. No,
yes.
That's so bold in a negative way of the perpetrator to be like, I'm going to get away with this.
Yeah.
And like, what was the end game? To hold her under there until no more? Or just until he was finished sexually assaulting her? You know, I mean, and then the partner.
Come on.
Never, ever, ever reply to somebody that is a victim of sexual assault or rape. With, it wouldn't have happened if you didn't want it to. Well, what were you wearing? It wouldn't have happened if you weren't wearing that.
Yes.
Nobody wants that to happen to them. I mean, Jesus Christ. So that's a lot of projection and perhaps, I don't know, jealousy, anger. I don't know what it is, but I'm glad that you're not with that person anymore because that's the deal breaker as far as I'm concerned.
For sure. I'm glad that they apologized. You know, she apologized later on, but it is definitely a lesson to everybody listening. Like, it's not about you, partner. Right. Like, it's about who was just drug under the fucking water. And especially the fact that there was a completely neutral rando third party being like, no, I saw what happened and nobody wanted anything. She was being drowned. To still have that reaction is just, ugh, I hate that. It makes my stomach drop. Anytime, you know, we always talk about like, if you get scammed, don't let, you know, don't feel shamed or whatever, you're robbed or someone broke into your house. You're like, ugh, I left my car door unlocked. I'm so stupid. I deserved it. A person climbed into my backseat. No, don't climb into anybody's backseat, regardless if a door is unlocked. Like,
yeah,
the person at fault here is the criminal. It's absolutely not the person who is doing what everybody does, which is go for a swim in your skivvies. People are allowed to do that. You're allowed to go skinny dipping wherever you want. Nobody's allowed to swim up and grab a hold of you.
That's I don't know if you're allowed to go skinny dipping wherever you want.
Not wherever you want. Wherever is appropriate. You know, wherever is an appropriate place.
If it's allowed.
Yes.
If it's like a nude beach or something like that.
Yes, allowed and appropriate. I'm saying you're able to dress to whatever is like legally appropriate to where you're at. And that's never an invitation for someone to, you know, run up on you.
But, no, and it's wild. The partner, I mean, I'm not blaming. I don't know how far she swam away. Mm-hmm. But for a Scottish man on the beach or maybe somewhere else to be like, I recognize what's going on. And it seemed like very quickly after the partner left, this happened.
Yeah.
That she didn't notice it was going. My first question would have been like, where the fuck are you?
Right.
Not, I wanted this to happen. Like, you, I mean, the whole thing sucks. It's awful. And I am glad that you've gotten therapy and are still working through that. And I promise you that people listening have had something similar to happen to them and that you have provided some comfort to them as
Absolutely.
Well.
So they know they're not alone. And good on you for moving on. Congrats on your impending marriage.
Yeah.
And also that you were able to reclaim Cyprus and go back and have a new experience. And it's not, this is going to be taken from me. It's like, fuck that. That guy doesn't own Cyprus. I own my agency and I'm going to go with my new wonderful fiance. So many happy years to you all together.
I love that. There's something very powerful too about like visiting the place where something so horrible happened and you're like, but I'm going to make happy memories now because not that you're will ever forget about that, but it's a way of healing.
Truly, there's been like songs or types of food or places where I'm like, oh, the person that attacked me loved that, or the guy that stalked me liked that. And I've been like, no, that's my fucking song. Like, I like that music first. You don't get to take that from me.
You don't get to like good music.
Fuck you.
Well, thank you so much, Laura, for sending that in.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This next one is from Anonymous, Heather.
Hello.
And it's called, I Was a Victim of Revenge Porn. Hi, ladies. Before I start, I have to give a content warning for SA and revenge porn. With that out of the way, I just want to say that you two are so strong for voicing your opinions and reaching the amount of people you have. You've influenced the way I view life and made me realize that I'm stronger than I thought and can stand up for myself and others when it comes down to it. Now to the story. I write this as a warning to the younger listeners, as I hope that this can prevent someone from having this happen to them. I was 20 when this happened. I had just recently gotten out of a serious relationship with my ex and was in college to get my associates. For the sake of the story, we'll call this guy A. A had friended me on Facebook some odd months before the incident happened. We had some mutual friends, so I friended him back. He messaged me on Facebook Messenger to add me to his Snapchat, which I happily obliged. I was looking to make more friends at the time, and it seemed to work in my favor to make another friend. Now, at 26, I would never randomly add someone without knowing them first because of this incident. We talked on and off for months, and after a while, he started flirting with me. I'd flirt back, and it led to some compromising pictures being exchanged back and forth. Well, after meeting up one afternoon, I got a message on my Instagram from a random person. Turns out, it was his girlfriend at the time who he had a child with. My mind was blown. She asked the normal, "Hey girl," questions, to which I responded truthfully. She then went on to explain that he was a serial dater, and she only found out about it because he had posted one of my photos on his Reddit page that had been tagged with "not safe for work." I was mortified and immediately thanked her for bringing it to my attention, while simultaneously apologizing for being an accidental home wrecker. I reported the photo, had some close friends of mine report the photo, and thankfully, his whole page was shut down and my photo was deleted. When I asked for an explanation, he told me that it was because I had screwed him over when I, quote, flipped a 180 in personality after I cut things off with him. I told him it could ruin any potential career I wanted, and he told me he didn't care. I was devastated at the idea of my future employers finding out all this information. At the time, I was looking to be law enforcement or FBI, which went out the door when I broke my ankle a year later. I went to my mother to explain the situation and get some advice, and she proceeded to tell me that I did this to myself. She has since apologized, so I don't hold it against her after explaining how traumatic it was to me. I have since blocked A on everything, but since that, I have had serious panic attacks anytime I see his name, his car, and passed him when I lived in the same area. He did find one social media account and tried to message me there, but I blocked him and cried myself to sleep that night. To the younger ladies, take this story as a precaution. Not every guy is a bad guy, but some are. Do not send compromising photos to a person you do not fully know, even if it seems fun in the moment. You never know how long they may hold on to the photo, and you never know what they're going to do with it. It's been 6 years since this all went down, and I still have nightmares that he'll find me and retaliate. I'm in therapy now, and it has helped tremendously. To anyone who has had this happen to them, it was never your fault. Thank you, ladies, for reading this, even if it doesn't reach the air. I don't talk about it often because of the scars it has left, but writing about it has been cathartic in a way.
Well, thank you, my dear daughter, for writing us in. I would posit that if you upload revenge porn, you should go to jail for 50 years.
I'm on board.
There's no reason for it. It's not an accident. You didn't, if you're just like, my Reddit account's like chicks I got pics from, you should go to jail for 50 years. I think you should. It's a harmful thing. It is an immeasurably harmful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like exactly like my daughter said, you cannot know what it might do, whatever. I would also argue, like we have often in the past, that if you are an employer who receives notice that one of your employees has been, you know, posted pictures of them, been posted on the internet or whatever, it is absolutely the onus is on you to go, I don't care. That's horrible that happened to her. I'm going to let her know about that. And mm-hmm. I'm going to help connect her with law enforcement. And I'm still going to hire her because it's not a judgment thing. It is, in fact, so prevalent with young people.
Yeah.
Like, people younger than me. I was like the last age of like, I don't know. I'm not going to send that. I don't know. You know, I'm like 38, but I think people like 2-3 years younger than me on down to maybe now people in their, now they're saying younger people are more conservative and buttoned up and because of cautionary tales like this. But I think there's a whole Gen Z and some younger millennials.
Oh, it goes way younger than that.
Yeah.
Middle schoolers send pics to each other.
And that's the problem is when you're underage too, that's when the cops start going, well, that's distributing CSAM material, even though you're both kids.
Yeah.
Now your life is ruined, kid. So this is something that anybody who has a younger person in their life, you got to have a conversation with.
Yeah, for sure.
On both sides. If you get a picture from a girl, it is up to you never to show that to another boy. Never.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's...
Or anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Shouldn't be shown to anybody.
No.
But really, makes me want to throw up 1,000 times to think about kids in like fifth, sixth grade getting talked into doing stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you, like Anonymous said, you don't know where that picture's going. Mm-hmm. And once it leaves you, it literally can go anywhere. I mean, like you said, you can't even, it's immeasurable how far it's going to reach.
Screenshots. And
it's near impossible to get something completely removed from the internet. So even if it seems fun in the moment, just think, would I want my parents coming across this, my friends,
boss?
Do I want like something so personal out there for anybody to see, as strangers, whatever? The answer is no, then don't send it. Don't send it. Make him come see the goods in person if he wants to see them that bad.
Exactly. Or now, if it's like send me a picture.
Adults and you're in a happy relationship that, you know, is pretty solid, then that's a little different. However, phones get stolen, shit gets hacked. So do with that what you will too.
And also just the idea that nothing's private anymore, that mm-hmm. if you click give Facebook access to all pictures on my phone, now you sent your picture to your husband. Your husband's so sweet. And he's like, well, I want to upload this picture of the dog, but Facebook needs to be able to see all my pictures. Boop. Now suddenly Meta has access to your tits, right? So if that just is how it is. Like, I'm not saying anybody's doing anything wrong.
No.
It's just an unfortunate truth of our society, certainly. So if somebody's like, hey, send me the goods, send me a picture of your snatch, you take your arm and you mash it together real good. You bend your upper arm to your lower, and the elbow, you mash the elbow fat together. And if you angle it right, it can look like a vagina. So just be like, oh yeah, you like that? I shaved it for you.
Maybe you've got hairy arms and you that plays into it.
Maybe
you
get a Merkin for your fake arm slit. True. I don't know, but
a Sharpie.
A Sharpie.
You know, also, if it's like grainy enough, you could probably fake a lot of stuff.
Dude, low lighting. They can't tell. And if they want boobs, just like get your thighs together, mash them up to where it looks like cleavage and just mash your, I mean, I got thick thighs, so I can
do
that.
And they're like, what about a nipple? And you're like, no. Nipple is in person only.
Exactly. Or just Google picture of a nipple and then be like, here's one. They're like, yeah, this woman has a
but
nipple
sure
ring. The tattoo.
Picture you're Googling and using is not something that is
correct
from Reddit or so, you
no,
know?
Yeah.
It's got to be like a stock image. No faces shown. This guy, what a fucking...
Fuck him.
Like, uploading it to his Reddit page that his girlfriend with the kid obviously knows about.
Yeah, or hopefully just she found it and was like, I got to go find all these
women.
He's
not being too careful about it is my point. He's, and so if she saw it, who's probably the last person he wants to see it, where else can it go? Thank God they took it down. Your friends are what friends should do. Report it and help you out in that
Absolutely.
Situation.
Yes, and I'm glad it did get taken down. And Anonymous, you didn't do anything wrong.
No.
You thought you were messaging somebody you were dating. It's just, like you
for
said,
sure.
a precaution for other people. So I hate to hear about stuff like this, because especially that cyber stalking almost online component, it's just such a tingle up the spine. And the more we normalize everyone going, I'm sorry, did you just, like, if some guy at work is like, you want to see the tits of this girl I've been talking to, going, gross, buddy, I don't want to see some, like, she didn't.
First of all, those are two thighs pressed together, dude.
Like, I think that's an arm. Also, I'm sorry I called my fake arm vagina a slit earlier. I've been watching Righteous Gemstones.
Ooh, I didn't even hear that. That slipped past me.
But some dirty language from Judy Lee Gemstone. I'm sorry, but
Righteous Gemstones is up there with one of the most foul-mouthed shows that I've ever seen.
Like, I love it so much. Sometimes I'll say I watch it and then I hear someone go, I like that too. And I'm like, interesting to know you watched that. Okay. All right. But yeah, all that to say, like, I think we need to normalize being like, the person that's sharing stuff is like horrifically embarrassing and gross and like you need to be ostracized for that. Not like, yeah, bro, let me see him. It's like, dude, you're about to show some girls pictures. You're a fucking scumbag, man. Like, we need that positive peer pressure to pressure it more of like, when a girl sends that to me, that's for me. I'm not trying to show it all to everybody else. And just showing dudes like what you do is nasty, fucked up and wrong. And then we put him in front of Judge Christie. She sentences him to 50 years in jail.
Yeah, so. Or more. And also, if you know the girl or whoever it is that is you're being, tell them.
Tell her.
Whoever
tell
it
her.
Is needs that has the right to know, like, hey, this is happening, so they can decide what they want to do.
And I mean, sucks that it's the girlfriend with the baby, but she's such a girl's girl to be like, right? I'm going to message her and tell her. And that's what we have to do is be like, be a girl's girl, no matter your gender identification, because we all need to be on the side of people who are being taken advantage like
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
Fuck them. Send them to jail.
Anonymous, thank you so much for sending in that in. To reiterate again, you did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. This guy's a total piece of shit. And it's been 6 years since this went down. I'm so glad you're in therapy. I'm so sorry you still have nightmares about it. We're putting it all out into the universe that you're never going to see this piece of shit again.
For reasons unrelated to you and that never reflect negatively on you, he will disappear from your existence. Mm-hmm. May it
be so.
He
will simply be plucked out of the universe in whatever way that might look like.
It is so. Oh, shit. She's doing it. She's doing it. I got my Judge Christie shirt on.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like I'm in a band and I'm looking at you wearing my band shirt.
When we hang out later, when I come to, I'm still going to wear this even when we go out really
early. Nice. Oh, fuck. Well, if people have questions, then I'll be there to answer. Maybe exactly. I'll take my little travel gavel with me just in case they've got a lot of questions.
Absolutely.
Or maybe they've got a grievance and I got to do on the street grievances.
We'll go live if they
Streetances.
Street grievances.
Street
we'll
grievances.
We'll get you a tiny microphone.
I'm going to be like Billy Eichner.
Yeah.
Except
for a dollar. What's wrong?
What's the most petty thing you've ever done? And do you want me to rule on it right now if you should be liable for that? But, oh, man. Well, thank you so much for sending that in. And fuck the haters.
Fuck the haters. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, this next one's from Haley, and it's called Home Invasion, Faded Coincidences, and Sisterly Love. Hi, Sinisterhood fam. Gonna get right into it. A little background is needed for the faded coincidences portion of my story to make sense. To set the scene, it was the summer before I was going into the eighth grade. My parents are divorced, and I would go to my dad's house every other weekend, Friday afternoon to Sunday afternoon. My older half-sister, Chelsea, 16 at the time, lived with my dad full-time. It should also be noted that my dad lived in an upper-middle-class suburban neighborhood. For some unknown reason, this one week, my dad requested I go to his house early, Thursday to Sunday, in order to keep Chelsea company while he and my stepmom were at work. As an aside, this was not a common occurrence, and I usually never went to my dad's other than our regularly scheduled time. It was Friday morning, around 9 a.m., and I was awoken by loud knocking at the front door. When I say loud knocking, I truly mean banging on the door. I opened my door at the same time my sister poked her head out of her room, her face a mask of sleepy confusion. We crept to the stair banister, which overlooks the front door, and peeped our heads out to see two men at the door, continuing their relentless banging. As normal kids do, we ignored it and went back into our rooms to go back to sleep. Later, we would learn that the men were knocking in order to determine if anyone was home. 10 minutes later, I heard a loud bang, like something heavy being knocked over. Later, we learned this was our back door falling to the ground. Chelsea walked into my room. "Did you hear that?" "Yeah," I said. "What in the world was that?" While we were talking, we heard our Chihuahua, Dot, barking frantically. Gotta love little yappy dogs. Our dad and stepmom put the dogs in the laundry room when they left so they wouldn't bug us until we got up for the day. Chelsea grabbed my phone and called my dad at work. "Hey, did you set the alarm this morning?" she said. I could hear my dad's voice reply. "No, I wanted you all to take the dogs out when you got up." At that moment, we heard voices downstairs. Chelsea almost collapsed to the ground. "Daddy, there's someone in the house." I could hear my dad's booming reply. "Call 911. Call 911. She hung up the phone and shakily dialed 911. I grabbed her arm, pulled her to my bedroom door, and closed and locked it as quietly as possible. I then drug her into my closet, which thankfully was big enough to comfortably fit both of us. While on the phone with the police, Chelsea and I silently sobbed as we heard men tearing apart our house downstairs. Finally, we heard a set of footsteps on the stairs. The intruder made his way quickly through the game room, my sister's room, the bathroom, and the guest room. Finally, he came to my bedroom at the end of the hall. "He's here," Chelsea shakily whispered into the phone. The intruder tried my doorknob and found it locked. We could hear him try it again, harder this time. Finally, we heard heavy boots begin breaking down my bedroom door. Chelsea, more calm and resolute than any 16-year-old I know, hung up the phone. There was a large moving box in my closet, which she pushed to the side. She grabbed me by my shoulders, and with silent tears rolling down her face, we locked eyes as she moved me behind the box and pushed the box in front of me. She stood up and grabbed hold of the closet doorknob. Without words, I knew that if we were going, she was going to go first and with a fight. Seconds later, my bedroom door cracked and gave way. The intruder moved through my room quickly. Ironically, he stepped on a picture of my sister and I in his path of destruction. We knew he was coming to the closet next. "Freeze! Put your hands up!" was an echo we heard from downstairs. Later, we learned that the intruder upstairs spooked, ran, and jumped out of my sister's window and got away. We were saved, albeit terrified and traumatized. Now for the fated coincidences. 1. I was not supposed to be at my dad's on a Friday morning, although I am so incredibly glad I was, as I cannot fathom my sister going through that experience completely alone. 2. My dad went to the gym at the same time every day. Ordinarily, he would have been at the gym with his phone in his locker when my sister called. His boss randomly happened to want a meeting at this exact time, so he had access to his phone. 3. My sister coming into my room to inquire about the noise instead of the other way around. My room is the last room in the hall, and the intruder would have found us earlier had I gone into my sister's room. 4. This is hard to believe, but my bedroom door was the only bedroom door in the entire house to have a lock. We didn't even realize that until after the break-in, but the lock on my bedroom bided us enough time for the police to arrive. In the end, the police caught only one of the men. However, they did find their getaway car, which had a firearm inside. Many sleepless nights have been spent on the what-ifs this can bring up. Takeaways from my tale. Yappy dogs have their purpose. Always set your alarm system. And my sister would quite literally lay down her life for mine. I will always be in her debt.
Well, you lived through another, we got another entry that's like a real life horror film,
dude,
that you lived through, Haley.
This is, to this day, one of my biggest fears. As a kid, kidnapping or somebody breaking in and you being there.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
And 16 in 8th grade? 16 yeah. And what, 13? That's crazy.
Insane.
Man.
I can't imagine going through this and the perpetrators being so bold that you're like, yes, they're not stopping. They're literally going through every room. Even when they found this one locked, he wasn't like, oh, maybe someone is here and we don't want to get caught, so I'm going to leave. Nope. Boom, boom. I'm going to kick it down.
Mm-mm.
Now I'm in a kid's room. No. And he probably would have come to that closet, and bless your sister for protecting you. Ugh. And also, good on you for being thinking fast and moving in there. I mean, when that fight or flight kicks in, it's like your body just takes over.
Yeah. And it's like the two of you were like working in tandem of like, you mm-hmm. be on the phone. She's talking on the phone. What can I do to help? And I probably cried because I am a little sister, but I was like, what a beautiful gesture. I mean, an unnecessary and horrifying one. But to know, like, when the shit, as Tommy Brown said, when the shit shakes out, Chelsea was like, you know what? This is, I was like, this would, my sister Shannon would do that. I was like, Christy would do that. That I thought of both of y'all when I was reading this in advance. I was like, they would do that too. Chelsea is so amazing because that's the big sister way, right? Where mm-hmm. you're like, I'm not going to, you know, hit my little eighth grade sister out there, you go fight him. You know, it's no. like, all right, I'm going to try to do what I can, you know, how do I beat people up outside the skating rink? Let me go try those tricks on this guy who probably has a gun, yeah. kicking the door in, going room to room. But thank God the cops showed up that quickly and like took your cries for help seriously.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, lesson learned, always set the alarm. We can turn the alarm off and then let the dogs out. Like, it's fine. Yeah. We can do two things. But that's why I love the goose, because I was like, any semblance of noise or person, and she's just immediately like, gah, 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 gah. Yeah. It's annoying, because even when it's not an intruder, she also acts that way. But I'm always heartened, at least, that if I go to bed at night, no one's going to be looming over my bed, because she will have woken me up jumping over me to get mm-hmm. to them.
They're not going to get past her.
No.
Also, your dad, I mean, dude, scariest call you can fucking get. But also,
that he
like
got
you
it.
Said, the fact that he was able to and he wasn't working out at that same time. And it definitely, everything synchronized to work out in your favor.
It's
thank
one of
goodness.
Those, you're like, who's looking out for us? Hang on a minute. Like, why did this happen? But you know what?
And maybe you were there a day early, too.
Exactly. You were there when you needed to be. But maybe it's not a question of why, but just a gratefulness that you were.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn. Well, you made it, Haley, and our regards to Chelsea for her bravery yeah. as well. Well, this next one is from Kylie, and the subject line is snails and synchronicities. Hey, you two. This is a bit of a long one, so I'll forego the usual intro praise, but know that you two have helped me through so much without you even knowing it, and I appreciate everything you do so very much. All right, some context first. My grandma, Hurry, passed away recently. Her name was Gloria, but all of the grandkids knew her and my grandpa as Grandma and Grandpa Hurry because of my mom, who would beg them to hurry up when going on adventures as a kid, and the nickname stuck. A few weeks before she passed, the whole family went to visit her at my aunt and uncle's house, where she'd been staying ever since my grandpa had passed. She was declining pretty fast, so we wanted to be able to spend time with her and say goodbye while we still had the chance. This day wrecked me. I spent the whole day trying so hard not to sob every time I saw her. I knew it was the last time I would ever see her, the last chance I had to hold her hand and hear her laugh. But to Grandma, her whole family was there to have a party. As my immediate family and I were on our way out the door, we did our laps around the room to say goodbye to the myriad aunts and uncles and cousins that had gathered. My Aunt Kyla, who is just as witchy and weird as I am, stopped me and planted a small, smooth pebble into my palm. She explained to me that she had found it a while ago, and she had been carrying it in her pocket ever since. She liked the shape and started, quote, filling it with joy and warmth whenever she could, so that when she was feeling hopeless or alone, she would have a bit of happiness with her wherever she went. She thought I needed it more than she did at that point, and she was right. I carried the rock, which I had started calling the spell stone, around with me for a long time after that. When it wasn't in my pocket, it was on my bedside table. I would rub it like a totem anytime my anxiety kept me up late or if I had had a particularly bad panic attack. The night Grandma Hurry passed away, I had a dream about her. We were both sitting in the living room of her old house. She was in her big soft chair in the corner while I was perched on the comfy leather sofa near the television. She was smiling at me, just slightly out of reach. For a while, in dream time at least, neither of us said anything, until finally she looked me dead in the eyes and said, "Keep on smiling, okay?" And then I woke up. When my mom told me that she had passed, I felt like I already knew. That was the only dream I had about her, but oddly enough, that wasn't the only visitation we got from her. You know how everyone's house has a smell? Every once in a while, I'll catch a whiff of Grandma and Grandpa Hurry in the living room where we keep framed pictures of them by the door. Every time it happens, I get a little misty-eyed. Okay, now for the second part of the story. On May 10th of 2024, I was in a really awful car accident. I blacked out at the wheel. We don't know why, and because no one called an ambulance and I was panicking too hard to think rationally and call one myself, We probably never will know why I lost consciousness. I jumped lanes and got into a near head-on collision with another driver. I woke up to him yanking the door of my car open, asking me, "What the hell are you thinking?" It was probably one of the scariest days of my life. Neither me nor the other driver were injured, thank goodness, but my body ached for days afterward. And because my car was totaled, I was forced to quit the job I currently had because I could no longer commute. My entire life fell apart in a single afternoon, and it took me a really long time to recover. I didn't touch a car for almost a full year and a half because every time I thought about getting into the driver's seat, I would have a panic attack. I resigned myself to biking anywhere I needed to be, but I felt stagnant and alone. About a week ago, I was on break at my new job, cashier at a discount grocery store. It's a far cry from having my own office and business cards at a museum, but I was happy to have a routine again. Then I got a call from my mom. We'd been trying to get me a car because, fortunately, if I was going to keep working and finish my associate's degree, I would need to get back behind the wheel no matter how much it terrified me. On the other end of the line, my mom was in hysterics. My aunt and uncle, who had cared for Grandma Hurry, had decided out of the blue to give me her car. She had been on my mom's mind recently, and this felt like her reaching out from the other side in an incredibly tangible way. My grandma was generous to a fault. She had a tendency to just hand people checks with no prompting. She would hide $5 bills and Easter eggs, and she would make sure that anytime someone came over to her house, they were fed and happy. It took me a minute to process the information, but once I did, I broke into ugly sobs in the tiny break room at work. I was equal parts terrified and thrilled. I didn't want my bad luck to taint something my grandma had loved. I couldn't handle it if I ruined something that had represented her, but my mom was convinced it was a sign. I was too, to be honest. My mom and dad had to remove a not too insignificant amount of moss from the top of the car, but it was perfect. A little 2007 Nissan Versa that was full of ridiculous little quirks. The glove box was full of half-used packages of wet ones. There were three separate pairs of sunglasses hidden in various places and a notepad tucked into the cup holder decorated with little kittens. My favorite quirk is that the car had a 6-CD switcher system that came fully loaded with Phil Collins and a singular Dolly Parton album, live from London if you're curious. I moved the spellstone my aunt had given me into the little pop-out sunglasses holder, hoping that somehow its presence in the car would make me feel more comfortable behind the wheel. I slowly started driving again, though admittedly only to and from work, which is about a 4-minute drive on relatively calm suburban streets that only get up to 30 miles per hour. I kept beating myself up for being so afraid of something as silly as driving to work, and that's when things started to get weird. One day, as I unlocked the car, I noticed a snail on the driver's side window. I took a picture of it because it was cute and got into the car. As I checked my mirrors and took a few shaky breaths before starting the car, I noticed that the little pop-out compartment holding the spellstone was popped open. I closed it, not thinking anything of it, and went to work like usual. The next day, the same thing happened. Snails, yes, snails, plural now, there were two, on the car, sunglasses compartment open, even though I know I had closed it. A coincidence, obviously. And then, tonight, I left work to get in the car, and there was, frankly, a comical amount of snails on it. 9, to be exact. 9. When I got in the car, you guessed it, the little compartment was wide open, but the stone wasn't in it. The stone was in the passenger seat. I chalked it up to a speed bump having jostled it open or something. My mom was worried that the snails might damage the car somehow, so I got my brother to help me remove them. I started wondering if maybe the snails weren't a coincidence. Maybe they were some sort of sign. They were so out of place, so specific. And in such a specific place, I was convinced it must mean something. So I did a little bit of research. I Googled what it means if I keep seeing snails. And ladies, when I tell you I almost broke down crying again, snails apparently signify, quote, slow but steady progress, patience, resilience, and determination. I feel like the snails and the stone were my grandma's way of reaching out and touching me on the shoulder, telling me that being afraid after something so scary wasn't a bad thing, to keep going. And I really needed to hear that. Maybe it's all just a crazy coincidence, but Who knows? Thank you for reading my story. If this somehow makes it onto the pod, thank you again. That's more than I could have hoped for with my silly little synchronicity. Y'all are the voices that keep me company when I feel utterly alone, and I appreciate the work you do so, so much. Sinisterhood is the first Patreon I've subscribed to, and I don't regret a second of it. You pour so much empathy and heart into your work, and I hope you know that doesn't go unnoticed. I included a video and a couple pictures of the snails, as well as my good, good boys, Louie and Bear. Louie is the silver poodle. He's 17 years old and a crotchety old man. Bear is the big black mass. He is a baby and exists to cause problems. Lots of love. Keep it creepy. Kylie.
Kylie, well, your fur babies are so very cute. Kylie also emailed a video.
Let me see this video.
These snails. And when I say it is a comical amount of snails.
Too many snails.
I've never seen so many snails in one location.
The thing I like about this video, Kylie, is that, and I'll put this on our Instagram, these look like little, they're like little cartoon snails. Like they look like just, like I said, garden they're like snails. Cartoonish. They're perfect though. They look like quintessential little snails that I would imagine. Snails. They're so cute.
I think they're so cute. We have several snails. We've had many snails over the years that live in our fish tank. And anytime I see them out in the garden or something, I'm like, this
Hi,
is because you don't normally see them a lot unless you're getting a sign from your grandmother that's like slow and steady wins the race. And I think she's right. That's a huge thing to get back behind the wheel after a car accident like that. So don't beat yourself up about it, that it might take you a little while or you still get nervous, because I would for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if it was sort of undetermined reasoning or whatever, that's completely rational to be concerned about it, and something you can work through on your own time in the way that you know, you think is best. But in the meantime, I agree. I think this is, even if it's, you know, what do you say? Oh, maybe it's a coincidence or maybe not. If it's a sign to you, I think it's a sign. And I think you're doing great, making good, steady progress. Sometimes little bit every day is better than like, you know, one stretch of a lot and then sitting around doing nothing. It's like, look at those snails. How did they get up on your windshield?
I would like to know how you have so many snails. Are there snails in other parts of your yard? Did they all flock to the car?
Or are they going? I thought it was like at work too. It's like, nobody else has snails on their car? Like that's so much.
I think they were at home, and then when she you're like,
tonight, I
sorry,
left work.
I was late because I had to remove all the snails from my car.
That's what I was like. I want to know if your coworkers, you said, I left work to go get in my car, and there was a comical amount of snails. Dang. So, like, ask your coworkers.
They're following you around.
They're just you. They just went the Versa. Either that, or there is remnants of moss on there, and they're just like,
oh,
sucking that moss off of it.
Nice.
But I doubt that, especially if it's been cleaned off. Like they can't tell that much. It used to be mossy.
And the spell stone, which, by the way, love that word. Going to use that. You know, randomly popping around, add something to it as well.
Absolutely, Kylie. Well, I think that's a beautiful message from Grandma Hurry. Mm-hmm. And it's ironic that Grandma Hurry is telling you to slow down.
Oh, and that Grandma Hurry's sign is a snail. That is funny.
Mm-hmm. Especially if Grandma Hurry got called that because she would take her time on adventures and be nice and slow. So she's like, you need to be like me. There's been times where, like I said, I've been running and like upset. And my grandma used to go, when I want to die, I want to be a butterfly. And a butterfly will hit me in the face. And I'm just like, well, no one else on the running trail is like hitting themselves like a butterfly. So sometimes signs are signs. I'm just saying. Well, thank you very much, Kylie. Sinisterhood will be right back.
January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, this next one is from N, and the subject line is Gnome is where the heart is. Hello, mothers. It is your daughter. Longtime listener, but first time Freaky Friday writer here. You can call me N. I guess I'm anonymous, but the details in here couldn't possibly match anyone else's life. So if you know me or I'm your therapist, hey. I will start off by introducing myself a little, as these details matter very much to the story and to future stories I'll someday get to writing in. I have had the most wonderful career in public mental health and social services. I started fresh out of college more than a decade ago, working in case management with people experiencing serious mental illness, substance use disorders, and in various states of housing insecurity. I went on to work for my town's public fiduciary as a field investigator in guardianship and conservatorship matters. Shout out to Heather, my only parasocial probate connection. As we learned in hashtag Free Brittany, every state does things a little differently. But in mine, the public fiduciary is an office that acts as the last resort when someone truly has no one else to help take care of them if they become incapacitated. In my job, I investigated people, both my clients and their family members, figuring out who they are, or more accurately, were, before they ended up in whatever crisis they were in that involved us. My job was piecing together people's stories and trying to find family members. It was the perfect job for my true crime web sleuth brain. However, these situations were often tense and emotionally charged, and not everyone, clients or family, were always happy about how these cases would turn out. We worked directly with Adult Protective Services, and there were routinely dynamics of abuse, neglect, or exploitation within families, which could even bring dangerous characters into the picture. Cases involved money, assets, last wishes, and inheritance, which everyone here who has ever had a family member or seen a true crime documentary all know are touchy subjects and motives for crime. The reason I planned my exit from that job and went to graduate school were more financial than anything related to the job itself or my clients. As my first mentor in fiduciary work always said, there's no free lunch in public service, but it turns out there are also no raises. In 2020, I took on a part-time job at an inpatient psychiatric hospital as I was starting school to become a therapist. While I've not been seriously harmed to date in my 10 years career, I have experienced my fair share of trauma, been physically assaulted by patients at work, and had other close calls while working out in the field myself. The TLDR, I consider myself a pretty calm in a crisis, and I've seen some shit out there, so it takes a lot to scare me. All of this is important context for the story. In 2021, I was still working in my probate investigator job, writing my master's thesis and working at the psych hospital. I was working 6 to 7 days a week, and I was doing a lot. In the middle of that, my amazing partner was pretty much single-handedly renovating our house that needed to be completely redone because of mold and the previous tenants trashing the place. He and I were living on the property in an RV with our 3 dogs. It was close quarters and just generally a weird time in life and the world. Not that it's gotten much better, am I right? The tenants that had lived there before had left a huge mess of the yard too, which had a ton of debris in the otherwise dirt and gravel lot. We had been picking up broken glass, rusty nails, cigarette butts, trash, and more since moving back. We also found other random objects, like kids, army men, and toys buried in the dirt. Looking back, I think it was a sign of my burned out mental state and active avoidance of my thesis project that I got super into collecting these, quote, dirt jewels and sorting them into piles by the RV. What I was going to do with these garbage piles of color-coordinated beer glass and size-coordinated rusty nails, you ask? Art, I guess? Who knows? But I kept it up. One day, I found a really exciting dirt jewel. There, in the dirt, was a dusty, grimy, 2-inch-tall plastic gnome dancing with a squirrel. He looked old-fashioned, kind of like the Norman Rockwell-esque rosy-cheeked figurine your grandma would have at Christmas. I thought he was kitschy and that he would fit well in our camping vibe RV. So I washed him off, brought him in, and put him proudly in the kitchen window. My partner liked him and thought he was a cute find. A few days later, I was coming home when I spotted a flash of color in the dirt yard. Could it be another gnome? This gnome was about the same size, but was in a different pose and was a different style of gnome art. It didn't look quite as old, but it was still pretty dirty and looked like he had been there a while, like the other one. I washed him off and added him to my dirt jewel area outside the RV. Time passed, and while I had my two little dirt gnomes on display, one in the RV window and one outside, I gave them little thought as I went on about my brain-melting work weeks and my partner toiled away at the home reno. That's when it got weird. One day, I came home from work, and there was another gnome. However, this gnome wasn't found like the others. This gnome had been left there. Laying in a very obvious place on a big rock we used to hold open our front gate was a third fucking gnome. Something about this gnome felt completely off. It was huge in comparison to the first gnome, which was only about 1.5 to 2 inches max. This thing was like 4 inches and looked brand new. It was shiny plastic and was sitting in a yoga lotus pose. The way it was placed in such an obvious way for me to find when coming home made my stomach drop. Who was doing this? Suddenly, the gnomes weren't any fun anymore. My heart started pounding and my head went on a swivel, scanning the empty lot and desert around our house to see if the gnome's owner was somewhere watching me in the brush. I went into the RV and started telling my partner what I had found and how I was starting to get really weirded out by these gnomes. I started thinking about how the other two gnomes had been on display in my window and in front of the RV. Other than that, it's not like I'm known as like the gnome girl or anything to people in my life. So who would do something like this? Were they watching me? Most importantly, why? I was going in circles, asking these questions aloud. Every true crime and stalking case I know, every disgruntled family member, and every odd interaction I had had with a psych patient in the last 6 months or so started running through my mind to try and find a connection to these gnomes. Not only does this person know about my recent history with gnomes and that I do yoga, but they know where I live. By this point, I was fully crying, pacing the RV in fight or flight mode. I was starting to transcend into that meme of Charlie Day with the yarn strings behind him when my boyfriend bursts out laughing, hugs me, and starts profusely apologizing, saying, it was me, I did the gnomes. That's when a totally different wave of tears hit me. Hugging me, he went on to explain, after you found the first gnome and liked it so much, I got another one from my parents' yard. And when you liked that one, I ordered more on Amazon and I've been hiding them for you, but you've been so stressed and you come home after dark. Sometimes you haven't found them yet. Guys, I was completely speechless, which does not happen as evidenced by this verbose email. This amazing man found time while literally making us a house with his bare hands to notice that a 2-inch tall dirty gnome brought me joy while I was going through it. That is love. I'm writing this after all this time and hoping you'll read it because my sweet partner is the one going through it now and could really use some extra gnomes, if you get what I mean. It's 2025, and the house is finished, but one of our three dogs from the RV pack, our sweet boy Clyde, aka Bo, just entered doggy hospice today. While we all are a family now, Clyde had to choose to allow me and my two pups into the pack when me and his dad first met on a Hinge date dog walk all those years ago. Without Clyde's permission, I would not have my sweet partner and this beautiful life and the gnomes he gives me. My partner has taught me to feel safe despite the life I've lived, that not everything in life is scary, and that people like him can be trusted. He's a special man with a special dog. So it would really mean a lot if my moms could say a few good boys for our guys as Clyde gets ready to go. I hope everyone listening can find the dirt jewels today, wherever you can, and leave a couple gnomes behind for the people who need them. Peace, N.
Oh, well, first of all,
yes,
all very good boys, sweet Clyde. And that is so hard when we all reach that point with pets where you're like, man, there's a clear change. And from when he was like, you know, a puppy type or just middle-aged dog. And then at least with mine, one day I'm just like, damn, this snuck up on me. Or maybe I haven't really been noticing, but like, you're kind of like a little old man now.
Yeah, sweet Clyde. And I love that he not only adopted you, but also your two pups. Y'all could be a big one, big happy.
And that is true. If somebody's dog doesn't like you,
bye.
That's very telling. So that is a part of like getting into a relationship. Like you're blending your family for sure.
For sure. I love
your hubby
this.
Is so sweet for this. I don't think I've ever heard the word gnome said more in my life. So it's tickled me very much because also gnomes are just funny little things. Oh, yeah. But also they could be freaky because if you think about these gnomes and they're like, oh, removing ourselves. She likes us, you know, and
locking up
luckily,
there.
Or that wasn't the case, but now you get to go on a treasure hunt for all these gnomes that you didn't know where they were until they didn't even exist.
Exactly. It's like, now that I know they're out there, I want to go dig for them. That sounds even more fun. But yes, if you found one yourself and displayed it in your window and then one was kind of sitting there like, saw you liked this, I could see how that would be like, who sees this? Who's been around my property to like notice this and to notice me liking this? And I hate it and I want to know more. But I have several gnomes on my back porch that I've gotten throughout the years. And my favorite one's this one that's like reclining on like his side with his hand behind it. He looks like Burt Reynolds on a rug, but like fully dressed as a gnome. And he's just got this sarcastic ass look on his face. And the way he's angled when I look out to either a loud neighbor or something outside, he kind of looks like he's going, I know, right? I'm like, thanks, little guy. So I love a good garden gnome. But those are all gnomes I either acquired myself or were gifted to me. If one just randomly showed up, I would be terrified, certainly.
How many gnomes would have to randomly show up in your yard before you were concerned? Just one?
Like if it was someone said it somewhere for that it looks like it was for me to find, I would be nervous about just the one. Yeah. With no note on it or anything. Because the other two, she was like already finding kind of, I want to say, they're dirt jewels. Let's not call it garbage.
First of all, dirt jewels, great. Also, there's an improv troupe somewhere with that name. But if you have just land around you and you were already cleaning stuff up and some of it involved children's toys.
Yeah.
I think
I would be nervous.
I think after the first two, if I found them, I'd be like, okay. But as soon as one shows up on a rock, that's when I'm starting to question these gnomes.
Yeah, when it deviates from the norm of like, oh, this was set somewhere for me or like on my car or like near my front door. Yeah, I don't like that because it implies somebody noticed and then obtained the gnome and then returned to give you the gnome. And that's too much dedication to a person. I don't know their identity. So I'm glad it was your partner this whole time.
Well, I was going to say, we're so on guard as women that our first thought was like, somebody found me. A psych patient found me and is putting these gnomes around instead of thinking, oh, maybe my boyfriend noticed.
Did you do that?
Out for me. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Inn, for trusting us with that. And yeah, feel free to write in any of your future stories. Thank you so much for the work you do in mental health. That's
not easy work.
Incredibly taxing, difficult job. So keep taking care of yourself as well as taking care of everybody.
May we all leave some gnomes behind for some people every day.
And don't be, let yourself chill and look for the dirt jewels because that sounds nice too. Just wherever you can find them. Sinisterhood will be right back.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, this final one is from Jess, and the subject line is this a UFO? Hello, hello. First, the obligatory groveling. I love both of you and cannot thank you enough for the laughter and company you provide, especially in this dumpster fire of a place we call the USA. I had my daughter 2 years ago and found myself drowning in depression, and you ladies helped me find sunshine on some very, very dark days. Thank you isn't enough, but that and my Patreon love and support are all I have on offer. Now to my story. It's not as crazy as most, but it's what I've got. I woke up on the morning of April 12th to a notification of activity from my front door camera at 1:42 a.m. Not an unusual occurrence, as the camera faces a walkway and we have neighborhood cats and the occasional next door teen sneaking in past curfew. She's a good kid, so we don't rat. Out of curiosity and wanting to see the cute kitty who might have paid us a visit, I popped open the recording. Spoiler, it was not a cat. I watched as a bright light flew through the sky, dipping down toward our house at the last moment and zooming away at breakneck speed. It was so fast and it was so bright. As a note, I live in Salt Lake City, so the airports most commonly used are to the north and south of me. This camera points directly to the east, so the object was moving east to west. Also, planes don't fly that fast. I asked friends who fly drones, and all of them said that most drones aren't that bright and that the speed seemed quick, even for a drone. I've attached the video. This has not been altered or sped up in any way. Also, there was no noise captured. So, what do you think? Drone, UFO, or something else? Personally, I'm hoping UFO, and that the aliens are scouting our family to take us away. A girl can dream. The end.
Okay. First of all, a girl can dream. I look up at the sky. What did I say last night? On the porch, I looked up at the sky and I was like, I'm ready.
It's like, what are you waiting for?
All right. I've seen this video. You haven't.
Okay. I'm going to push play. Oh, hang on.
I'm going to watch it again too.
Get it here.
It is so bright. It's almost like
it is.
It goes up and arches, and like it would go down, but it doesn't go down. It's just,
yeah.
It's, I guess it either kept going up or out of frame from the camera. It doesn't look like a drone because it is so fast.
Mm-hmm. It does not look like a drone. I will say from the way. Drones don't normally move in an arc fashion. It's more of like over, hover, up, down, just by virtue of, I crashed Paris's drone like a million times. It's very hard to like maneuver it because there's so many different planes you have to, you know, X, Y, and whatnot, axes. So it also does not look like an airplane as far as its speed. I don't know enough about astronomy to know whether or not, because I think there's a meteor shower going on right now or something like that.
Nice.
So, but I don't know if it's in or around Utah. So potential option to rule out is possible astronomical situation.
I'm going to look it up.
Man-made, you never know.
My only other thought, satellite. But it doesn't look like it, is like, because it's so bright, it's like, you know, if a club or a haunted house, like a huge spotlight.
Yeah.
Going just like rotating outside to draw attention, but it's not, it doesn't look like it's coming around as a rotating type thing.
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem
like
that.
But it is that bright.
No, it is very bright. Huh.
Okay. So I did a bit of Googling. It says there is the American Meteor Society says there's activity from April 12th through the 18th, called the Lyrid meteor shower. It's going to peak on the night of April 21st into the morning of April 22nd in Salt Lake City. Okay. So, well after that, It says the shower's active from April 15th to the 29th. There's nearly a full moon on the 13th, which will interfere with viewing. So this happened before that. Maybe it was a preview.
No major meteor showers or eclipses or forecasts. Not at that time,
but shortly after. That's interesting that it happened almost right after, too.
It doesn't look like it to me, but oftentimes some of these things could be like a lens flare. That is ruled out given the illumination of the area beneath. That tells me that is truly something moving and casting light downward. One thing, I mean, to the extent you, I mean, it sounds like you do believe in it. The orbs in UFO of God, Chris Bledsoe's book, don't make sounds. So I think it is a soundless thing. They tended less to like shoot around and would like stop on people, but you might have just caught this one in transit going to stop at somebody. So check that. Check the Chris Bledsoe style like descriptions and see if that matches any. But it's an interesting one.
Casting light because the whole house lights up when it goes over it.
So I'm not sure. Y'all head over to our Instagram page or our Facebook or whatever, where we'll put them on social media and
let us know.
See if you have any possible similarities, like maybe someone else was like, I had footage like this and it turned out to be blank, or I had footage like this and I still want to know what it is.
Did you see anything in Salt Lake City on April 12th too?
Also that, if you have any info, let us know because we'll solve this. And Jess, if they beam you up, then you can get them to beam us up next. So you're
nice.
Kevin
Bacon.
Please
send them over to me.
Well, now it sounds like we're like, test it out. And if they don't probe you too hard, tell them to call us. But we'll go up there. I'll go up there with you regardless. Let me know.
That's very nice of you. Well, thank you for sending that in. I'm interested to see what people say after all of you see it. And thank you to everybody that sent in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. Speaking of freaky, got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just want to show us something super funny. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It is totally free. All you have to do is sign up as a free member.
That's all you got to do. It's about as easy as signing up for anything else, which is just sit
and pick. And we have so much fun. This past one was great. Oh, man. Some of those are going to live rent-free in my head for the rest of my life.
I'm going to go back and rewatch it because for many reasons, given that it was 420, I don't necessarily recall everything, but I do recall having a fantastic time. So thanks to everybody who joined us live. And the good news is if you didn't join us live, there's a Sunday Scaries collection on Patreon. It makes it super easy to go back and watch the last 10 that we've done. We've done 10 so far. Now. So it's not a free trial. It is just you can be on there free forever and you can binge all of Sunday Scaries and all of the content on there and then join a tier if you want to get more.
Just for being there for free too. We also give you an audio bonus content once a month. And there's like movie watching things throughout the year, a backlog of free stuff. But yes, you can definitely join at a tier and get even more perks like ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As on the third Thursday of every month, quarterly live bonus content. Voting for that is going on right now.
We've got three options for you to choose from for our bonus content. It is Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, or Petty Revenge, which is in the lead. It's 60-40.
Of course
Petty Revenge Petty Revenge is winning. So if you have stories of Petty Revenge you want us to cover, we also pulled some from the Internet Hall of Fame that we can all laugh at and commiserate with. But we love to do those bonus content lives because you get to comment on the stories with us in real time. So
much fun.
Such a hoot.
We have weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner, and check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. You can submit topics and cases you'd like to cover. Like we said, you can submit stuff for Patreon bonus content, Freaky Fridays, Sunday Scaries. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists. And Avast ye matey. What is that? That's not a pirate. I've just
climbed
into my
board.
What is that? Is usually not how a pirate probably
I feel
says.
Like it's not going to be like, get on the boat, but it's going to be like, welcome aboard, everybody. Yes. It's time for a cruise.
No, we're going- the ones doing the pirate voices on this cruise.
Yeah. I feel like Henry and Ed will probably do pirate voices too. But we are headed on to Crime Wave at Sea 2025, November 3rd through the 7th. It is the ultimate true crime festival at sea. You go on vacation, not just with us, but with Ed and Henry from last podcast, Scared to Death, True Crime Campfire, all of your other new friends that you haven't made yet that listen to us and these other shows, watch us perform in fun other competitions slash we're trying to figure out a game show. There's a belly flop contest. We got karaoke. And for a limited time, the next 50 spots that are booked will be given access to a free VIP private Q&A with the two of us. It's limited so that it can be a nice intimate Q&A. And it's also not something that you can add on later. It's a free experience reserved only for the fans who have already booked. So no worries if you've already booked, we'll see you there as well as the next, it was the next 50, but more people have booked. So mm-hmm. The next few that book, hurry and get on the boat with us. And get out to the Bermuda Triangle so we can slip into another dimension.
Let's do it. Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. We're leaving from Fort Lauderdale. We get to go to the Bahamas, mm-hmm. private island, some days at sea,
some
nights at sea.
Hell yeah. I'm going to look out into the abyss and just
up on the Lido deck, just staring out into the abyss, wondering what's down there.
I'm going to Michael Scott it and do, I'm the king of the world.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get a few pictures of that, definitely.
So go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister. Use the fan code sinister to book yours before it. It's limited spots and it's not just our fans going. Mm-hmm. So make sure you book it now. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for the unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life that's going to knock their socks off, or you just want to treat yourself. Maybe you want some advice, some encouragement, a congratulations for something that you accomplished and you want us to give you a high five. We would fucking love to
Hell
do
yeah.
that. We love to do cameos. They're so much fun because we get to share in whatever is going on. We get to share in a birth announcement, perhaps a wedding day announcement. We've done a few of those. It's like, say hi, this is going to be given to them on their wedding day.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get very creative with cameos as well as graduations are coming up, Mother's Day, Father's mm-hmm. Day. Any other random holiday you have, go to cameo.com/sinisterhood and book a custom video shout out that can be ordered from your house and delivered digitally so you don't have to go anywhere.
No. And 24 hours available too. So if you're like, I forgot, don't worry. We got you.
Exactly. Christy, where can everybody find you online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.